जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी यशोधनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोधनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधवा गुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभा गिरिवर धारी यशोधनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोधनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधवा गुंज बिहारी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षूरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपगदामयं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगना रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च हे कृष्ण करुणासिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तुते तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा सो आई सीक द ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ ऑल द डिवोटीज Today we are discussing from 4th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 21, text 41, chapter entitled Instructions by Maharaj Prithu, text 41. Asnati ananta kalu tattva kovidai Shraddha hutam yanmuka ijjanamabhi Navaitata chetanaya bahishkrite. Hutasane paramahamsa paryago. What translation? Anyone like to recite? Asnati ananta khalu tattva ko videhi. Shraddha hutam yanmuka ijya nama behi. Navaitata chetanaya bahiskrite. Hutashane paramahamsa paryago. Ashnati ananta kalu tattva ko videhi. Shraddha hutam tan mijja nama behi. Navaitata chetanaya bahiskrite. Hutasane paramahamsa paryago. Asnati ananta kalu tattva ko videhi. Shraddha hutam yanmuka ijya nama behi. Navaitata chetanaya bahiskrite. Hutasane paramahamsa paryago. Word-to-word translation. Ashnati eats. Anantaha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kalu, nevertheless. Tattva kovideihi, persons in knowledge of the Absolute Truth. Shraddha, faith. Hutam, offering fire sacrifices. Yat muke, whose mouth. Ijya nama behi, by different names of demigods. Na, never. Vai, certainly. Tatha, as much. Chetanaya, by living force. Bahikrite, being bereft of. Hutashane, in the fire sacrifice. Paramahamsya, regarding devotees. Paryaguhu, never goes away. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. Although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ananta, eats through the fire sacrifices offered in the names of the different demigods, he does not take as much pleasure in eating through fire as he does in accepting offerings through the mouths of the learned sages and devotees. For then, he does not leave the association of devotees. So, Hare Krishna. So, we are discussing the instructions of Prithu Maharaj to the citizens. And we come across this few verses which we saw past few days today and we will see tomorrow. About the glories of the Vaishnavas, the glories of the real Brahmanas, the Brahmana Kulas, and the Brahminical order which was started by the Lord Himself. So, here in this verse, very famous saying that, you know, Lord enjoys more the Brahmana Bhojan, eating through the mouths of the Brahmanas, than the actual fire sacrifice. Okay, so in today's discussion, the purport is there. We will read and we will discuss. We would like to divide the purport into two sections. The first section, we are going to discuss about the significance of Brahmanas, in the sense why Brahmanas are there, Brahmanas are eating on behalf of the Lord. And the second paragraph of the purport, we will discuss about the Gaudiya Vaishnava revolution of Brahmanism as it is. So first, we'll just read the purport and discuss. According to Vedic injunctions, a fire sacrifice is held in order to give food to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the names of different demigods. So Srila Prabhupada says this, not in the sense that, you know, that the Lord is hungry, that if you don't feed him, he don't get. But this is how the Lord receives the gratitude or the oblations that people offer. So they say that the Agni Kund, okay, that is compared to the mouth of Vishnu, whereas the fire that blazes is compared to the tongues of Vishnu. While performing a fire sacrifice, one pronounces the word Swaha in mantras, such as Indraya Swaha and Adityaya Swaha. These mantras are uttered to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead through demigods such as Indra and Aditya. For the Supreme Personality of Godhead says, Naham tishtami vaikunte yogi nam hrida yeshuva tatra tishtami narada yatra gayanti mad bhakta. So here, Prabhupada is giving a very nice link. He's saying this famous verse, no, where Krishna says that Naham tishtami vaikunte, I don't stay in Vaikuntha. Yogi nam hridayesuva, I don't stay in the hearts of yogis. Tatra tishtami narada, hey Narada, I live there only. Where is there? Yatra gayanti mad bhakta. I live among my devotees because they're always glorifying me. So here Prabhupada puts a link that why Vishnu or why Krishna is interested to take hutam, dattam, true demigods by invoking the names Indra, Aditya. He says that because Krishna likes to live among his devotees. Okay, and his devotees are the devatas, isn't it? No one becomes a devata by not being at least pleased or not being at least favored by Vishnu. So all the devatas themselves are actually devotees of the Lord. Jai Shri Shri Radha Vrindavan Bihari Bhagavan Ki Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki Shri Prabhupada Ki. So this is an interesting link. In the past times, in other places in Bhagavadam, we hear how the sacrifices are given in the names of demigods as the limbs of the Lord, right? As a means of the limbs of the Lord. But here Srila Prabhupada says that the Lord accepts such indirect offerings because they are in connection with his devotees. So the Lord wants to always live with his devotees. He always wants to be with his devotees. So therefore he accepts Indraya Swaha and Adityaya Swaha through his different demigods because he always wants to be in the company of his devotees. He doesn't want to leave the company of his devotees. So, a similar verse, like this verse, is also mentioned in the 3rd canto, 16th chapter, where when the Lord meets the four Kumaras, so in the Lord's glorification of Brahmanas, or, you know, indirect sarcasm to the Brahmanas, to four Kumaras. Four Kumaras had offended Jay and Vijay, they committed an Vaishnava aparat. To correct the four Kumaras, the Lord starts to over-glorify them. And at the end of that glorification, the four Kumaras are confused, you know. Is he angry with us? Is he not angry with us? So, but they understood that the Lord is not happy. So you can exhibit your dishappiness also by glorification. You know, sometimes over-glorification. No? Someone cooks for you something and they say, how was it? Oh my God, it's too good. I think I can eat only this. My rest of my life, I can only eat this, I'll be happy. Samajh ke jyada glorify kar rahe na, isn't it? So, if someone over-glorifies, then you know that probably it's just a gali. It's not a glory. So, here the Lord over-glorifies, you know. He says that I'm willing to cut off my arm, this and that. In that context, he says that, you know, how that I enjoy eating from the mouths of the Brahmanas better than I do in yagyic sacrifices. And in that purport is exactly 95% similar to this purport. So that's quite interesting across Bhagavadam. No? Prabhupada writes almost line to line similar exactly with this purport. So 3rd canto, 16th chapter comes. Another section which I remember comes is in the 5th canto, Rishabhdev's teachings to his sons. So in Rishabhdev's teachings to his sons, he also mentions the same thing. It's a nice verse. Yasmin nirbi prahutam, shraddhayaham ashnami kamam natatha agnihotre. Yasmin nirbihi, among people, prahutam, shraddhaya, if you give your offerings with faith. So in this verse also he says shraddha hutam. So the offering is not so much the offering of an item, it's more of the offering of one's faith. So in Bhagavad Gita, in many other verses we see, you know, what's the use in Bhagavadam? We see that if a person doesn't have faith and he does an offering, it is as good as offering something into ashes. instead of offering into fire. What is the point of it? So the Shraddha, the faith, and who is expected to have faith in the community of men? Among all the Varnas, the Brahmana is the one who is supposed to have the most faith in the Lord. The Vaishnava has faith, the Vaishya has faith, but the Vaishya is also faithful in his own prowess. The Kshatriya is also faithful in his own prowess. The Shudra is almost not, he is faithful in the people around him. Baba, ye log hain, mujhe hitkari karne ke liye. But the Brahmana is one supposed to have the most faith in the Supreme Lord. So here it's said that Yasmin Nirbi Prahutam Shraddaya Aham, the Lord says, Aham Ashnami Kamam, I very happily eat. I very enjoyingly eat. Aham Ashnami Kamam Na Tatha Agni Hotre, not as much as I'll eat in the Agni Hotra. So he eats through the mouth of Brahmanas, like that. So in this fifth canto verse, which is mostly quoted for this because of the teachings of Rishabhdev, so Prabhupada, once in one lecture, actually spoke about the importance of Brahmanical culture. So Prabhupada says, a very interesting point, human society without Brahmanical culture is animal society. Human society without Brahmanical culture, that means the most faithful people on this earth, which are supposed to be Brahmins, is animal society. We offer our obeisances to the Lord, Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. Krishna is first of all interested to see whether the Brahmanas and the cows are respected or not. So Krishna is interested in two things. Brahmana Devaya Go Hitaya. If you do these things, then Jagat Ditaya. If these two things are done, then there will be automatically, the whole world will be peaceful. Jagat Ditaya. Then the welfare of the Jagat is maintained. So in Krishna's Pranam Mantra also, Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana. So Krishna is only worried about these two things. Are the Brahmanical culture is instituted? Or are the cows taken care? If this is done, then Jagat Ditaya. Then the whole world is taken care for. Prabhupada says, this secret of success, people do not know. Nobody is prepared to become a Brahmana. Isn't it? Nobody is prepared to become a Brahmana. We see that just around the early 1990s, late 1980s, in some parts of India, there was a revolution. They called it the Dalit Revolution. People are saying that, no, we too want to worship deities. We too want to have our own temples. They started having their own temples. They started doing their own worship. But here Prabhupada writes, no one is prepared to become a Brahmana. Why? Because Brahmana means simplicity, tolerance, forgiving, giving up. All these qualities are difficult. But having the pad and power, Brahmana tejas, Brahmana shakti, the pride and the respect that is given to Brahmana, wo sab chahiye. Lekin actual kasht karne ka, to become qualified as a person having Brahmanical qualities, no one wants to do that. So nobody is prepared to become a Brahmana. And so far for cow protection is concerned, it is in oblivion. दूर की बात है कौन करेगा cow protection, isn't it? A few months ago I attended Hisolna Jayapataka Swami Maharaj Vyasa Puja in Mayapur. So huge crowd, almost 20,000 people, and there people from everywhere came, mainly from Bengal and Bengal only, not South India, just Bengal and Bangladesh. That many people came from Bangladesh and Bengal, correct? So there the Bangladesh devotees asked a question to Maharaj. Say that Maharaj always asks questions. So is there any question you ask? So we are asking that how is cow protection possible? These are the Hindus in Bangladesh. He's saying that sometimes when we do cow protection, we only get bullocks as an offspring. We don't get cows. So is selling the bullocks an aparad? Is it a sin? He asked Maharaj. Short question. Maharaj read the question, thought for a while, he said, yes, immediately said. Because if you sell, surely they'll become slaughtered. The natural next question is, but how to maintain? Isn't it? How to maintain? Cows at least give milk, something is there, but bullocks, how to maintain? He said, not practical. We see around here also, no one wants male offspring when it comes, you know. They joke, no? Humans want male child, cows want female, isn't it? So how to maintain? So then Maharaj gave some ideas. He said that, you know, the cow dung is as good as the bull dung. So do something from that. bull dung, bull urine, it's still good. Okay, of course, bull urine is not practical. Prabhuji can explain why. To collect. Okay, thoda biology mein jayega. So cow dung or bull dung is as good. You can use it, do something from that, Maharaj said. Then he gives an example in US. Okay, how US, our ISKCON farms, I forgot the places, 2-3 places, they are surviving based on taking care of cows. The whole farm is surviving based on just income from cow care. So they started cow cuddling therapy. Cow cuddling therapy. Some people say that in India, it won't happen. Aisa nahi hoga India mein. Lekin aage mein hoga. Ultimately, it will happen in India also. So cow cuddling therapy, where they charge people to come and spend 1 hour serving mother cow. And many people there, they have a book table at the end, and they have books, and they have people to explain. And many people, Western people, who have been eating beef their entire lives, have become vegetarian after going through a few sessions of therapy with the cow care. They actually understand how innocent the animal is, how pure the animal is, and how wonderful the cow is. Us baju mein prachar bhi hota hai. So, and they pay for it, okay, like $20 an hour. So Maharaj was doing the calculations on the class, you know. He said, $20 an hour, how much does it take to run your temple? Like that, you know, people do. So this cow cuddling therapy is a big thing in US. And, you know, devotees are feeling it's not possible in India, but the way things are going actually with Indian society, especially in Cosmo cities, it will definitely come into effect today or tomorrow. So something interesting. So like that, Prabhupada is saying, no one is prepared to become a Brahmana, and cow protection is oblivion. This is the whole position of the world. Therefore, Prabhupada says, is a chaotic condition. It must be this animal society. If these two principles are neglected, Brahmanical culture and cow protection, then the other animal qualities and paraphernalia will follow. He says, so the world is becoming chaotic because there is absence of these two things. So just a discussion. Why Brahmanas are considered as the mouth of the Supreme Lord? Okay, Brahmano Mukham Asita. So why Brahmanas are considered mouth? Why not any other part? So in one lecture, Prabhupada says, you know, mouth or feet, both are important. Lord is absolute. So sometimes they say that Brahmanas are the mouth and Shudras are the feet. So then in the lecture, people, obviously, general populace, they become a little discouraged. Arey yaar, hum toh pair hain, isn't it? Brahmanas are mouth and rest of us are feet. So in the lecture, Prabhupada says, the Lord is absolute, whether you offer something to His mouth or offer a flower to His feet, both same. Because the Lord is absolute. But still a position, the Brahmanas being categorized as mouth. So in one lecture, Prabhupada explains, Brahmanas are considered to be the mouth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead because the business of the mouth is to speak and eat. So therefore, Brahmana's business is to speak Vedic knowledge and distribute Vedic knowledge. So therefore, they are slightly dearer to the Lord because this is the main purpose in the material world, isn't it? To spread this Bhagavad Tattva, this understanding of the Supreme Lord. And who does it? Who does it most efficiently? Supposed to be the Brahmana because he is supposed to speak Vedic knowledge. So therefore, people are actually inviting Brahmanas not because, you know, that they will exhaust the papa. Usko khane do, they can exhaust the papa. Not because of that, but they invite Brahmanas and pleasing them with hopes that by these people's association, they will always speak something favorable for us. They will always speak something which is connected to glorifying the Supreme Lord. So that is the purpose, that devotees, Brahmanas, Vaishnavas, they travel, they move around because they can enlighten others. In Bhagavadam, this Narada Vyasadev section, where Narada Muni is actually speaking about his previous life story. So, in one verse comes that Narada is explaining, you know, I was a young boy, after my mother died, I wandered here and there, and I drank from rivers, water, and thus I soothed my thirst. So in that verse, purport, Prabhupada writes, see, okay, devotees are not dependent on the food of other people. Right, sadhu, sannyasis, you're not dependent on eating from other people. A sadhu and sannyasi can live anywhere, just like Narad Muni, drinking water from streams. Then Prabhupada writes, but sadhus and sannyasis go to the homes of householders not to eat, but to enlighten. Prabhupada brings suddenly that context into here, no? Quite interesting. So in Krishna book also, when Nanda Maharaj meets Garga Muni, Prabhupada writes the same thing, that the purpose that people go to other people's house, sometimes when we travel, like recently we traveled to Pune, so first thing we like breakfast kahan karenge, isn't it? Itna sare devotee hai, usko kisi ko bulao, prasad karne ke liye, isn't it? But actually the purpose is not so much to eat, but a Brahmana or a Vaishnava, in essence, is supposed to, being the representative of the mouth of the Lord, means we are supposed to give this Bhagavad Vani to enlighten others. But nowadays, Brahman Bhojan is being misused. Okay, so Prabhupada jokes. For some pious activities, you call some poor men. For some Punya Karma, from some pious activities, you call some poor men. Poor Brahmanas, you call them, khane do, sab Brahman Bhojan ho gaya, bas. So puffed up Brahmanas, Prabhupada says, thinking they are born Brahmins without any qualification. We had an experience. Once my batchmate, my friend, his father Shraddha was there. Shraddha. So all of us went Shraddha. All of us went and we were a group of Vaishnavas doing Kirtan and all. So he's from a Brahmin family and duty bound to invite the local Brahmanas. So after the whole program is done, now Brahman Bhoj time is there. So he told all of us, Prabhujis, I know, according to our Siddhant, that you guys are the topmost, that we have to feed you first. But those Brahmanas are waiting there. If I don't respect them, if I don't feed them, if I don't give them Dakshina first, they'll become very offended. So please, you all just wait, let me honor them. Very small house. So we were all just waiting for about half an hour, 45 minutes, just waiting. And these Brahmanas were all seated, very proud, you know, give us, bring this. Then after Dakshina, you have to give us money, give us cloth. So he was going, honoring all of them. After they are done, he sent off. He says, now it's time for Hare Krishna party. Chalo, aap log sab baitha do. So this is the situation that because of cultural consideration, sometimes this respect is needed, just not to upset people. But in essence, a person understands. So then we think that why eating then? If Brahmanas are the representative of Krishna's mouth, Prabhupada says two faculties are there, speaking and eating. But why eating is so much of emphasis? I was just thinking of all the urges of the body. Ayurveda lists 13 types of vegas, urges, 13 types of urges in the body. Now some people misinterpret this. Some people say that these are the vegas that you should all not control. Some people say that these are the things all you should control. Actually, among all the 13, some things you should control, some things you should not control, some things you should regulate. Okay? So, anyways, we won't go into that. You can discuss about it. So, eating, because eating is the strongest basic need. Of all the vegas of the body, eating is the strongest basic need. And if this need is satisfied, it is the most pleasurable of all needs. And if this need is satisfied, sometimes it conquers all other needs also. Okay, if a person eats nicely, usko baki kuch ichha nahi hai. Khane ke baad na, you have, if someone wants to travel, someone wants to go here, khane ke baad, chhod do yaar, thoda baad mein jayenge. Isn't it? All other desires seems to disappear. All other desires seems to disappear. Have a nice meal. Whatever the other desires may be. Okay? It, so many desires are there. Whatever, even greed, lust, hunger, anger, whatever it may be. If nicely you eat, na, right? Pet barke, koi aapko ghali deenge, aapko lage, yaar, chhod do yaar. Kya itna tension le rahe? Isn't it? Sometimes nice feast is there going on and suddenly some people start fighting. You think, why are they fighting? Lord is there present before us in various form. It's so wonderful. Relish this. So prasadam has this power, okay? That it conquers all other kinds of pleasures. But for devotees, when they take prasadam, they see how the Lord has been served. How so much variety, so much pomp, so much sacrifice, so much energy, so much mehnat has been put to please the Lord. Okay, recently in some feast, so devotees were telling one of the devotee cooks who does the kitchen seva, is telling, "Arey, bro, itna mehnat kar rahe." So the devotee replied, "Mehnat to karna padega, isn't it?" So when devotees see, just seeing all this, forget about the taste, forget about the presentation, but just seeing all this, so overwhelming. Wow, see how the Lord is being served. So food or eating has that potency. Second, after seeing all this, devotees want to taste how the Lord has tasted, isn't it? So this is the understanding that the devotees have. So, continuing this purport, Prabhupada writes, comparing Brahmanas with sacrificial fire. Okay, fire is also eating, Brahmana is also eating. Why this is considered more Shrestha? So Prabhupada writes in this verse purport, he says, fire is certainly devoid of life, but devotees and Brahmanas are the living representatives of the Supreme Lord. Living representative, Chetana, Chetana, Chetanaya, it's mentioned in this verse. Therefore, to feed the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas is to feed the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. It may be concluded that instead of offering fire sacrifices, one should offer foodstuffs to Brahmana and Vaishnavas, for the process is more effective than fire yajna. Okay? So here in this verse, one qualification is given that the Brahmanas or the Vaishnavas are living, Chetanaya, whereas the fire sacrifice is non-living. So they can reciprocate, they can bless, they can please, whereas the fire sacrifice is not. Now in tomorrow's verse, which is going to be discussed, they'll say that not only is the Brahmana living, Chetana, or having Chaitanya, but he also has other qualities. Therefore, he is considered more Shrestha. So that is not today's discussion. Tomorrow the speaker will explain how other reasons why he is more superior. So, Vishnu Chakra Thakur also mentions in his purport, in this verse, that the Brahmana's mouth is most preferred by the Lord. He says, why? The Lord eats what is given with faith and mantras to the Brahmana's mouth. Just as one utters mantras and names of devatas, such as Indraya Swaha, when offering ghee into fire, one can offer cooked rice. Okay, one can offer cooked rice into the mouth of the Brahmana with the same mantra. Vishnu Chakra Thakur says. Huh? So next time, tomorrow, later when you're taking prasad, you can Indraya Swaha. You can hit Agnaya Swaha, Adityaya Swaha. You can offer the same mantras into the mouth of the Brahmanas. Like that, Vishnu Chakra Thakur is saying. The Lord accepts that offering. When the Lord has eaten, all the devatas are fully satisfied and pleased. The same cannot be said for fire, which is devoid of consciousness. Like this, they are explaining the glories of the Brahmanas in comparison with fire yajnas. So that is the first discussion for today. The significance of the position of Brahmanas. How Brahmanas being the mouth of the Lord and Brahmanas given a special position. Actually, if they have Brahmanical qualification, we saw how this world can actually be great or can actually be sustained if one follows two things. Brahmanical culture as well as cow protection. So in the next purport, now the next purport section we like to discuss is about the significance of Gaudiya Vaishnava revolution in this concept of Brahmanism. So Prabhupada gives an example here. He says, the vivid example of this principle of feeding a Brahmana instead of fire yajna is given by Advaita Prabhu, Advaita Acharya. When he performed the Shraddha ceremony for his father in Shantipur, he first of all called Haridas Thakur and offered him food. Now, some people may say that, you know, Haridas Thakur, in one sense, was a disciple of Advaita Acharya. In one sense, he was a very close friend in many of the Navadvip Leelas, Shantipur Leelas, and even in Puri Leelas, you'll see always Advaita Acharya with Haridas Thakur. Okay, even in the Indrayana Sarovar pastime, they'll, you know, bathe together, joke with together. Even in preaching pastimes, every time you'll see Haridas Thakur with Advaita Acharya. When Mahaprabhu appeared in Navadvip, that time Haridas Thakur, Advaita Acharya, Srivas Pandit. So one may say that maybe he called him to take the first Shraddha Patra, maybe because he was his friend. Dost ke karan, dosti ke karan, maybe he called him first. So then Prabhupada continues to say, it is a practice that after finishing the Shraddha ceremony, one should offer food to an elevated Brahmana. But Advaita Prabhu offered food first to Haridas Thakur, who had taken his birth in a Muhammadan family. Therefore, Haridas Thakur asked Advaita Prabhu why he was doing something which might jeopardize his position in the Brahmana society. Advaita Prabhu replied that he was feeding millions of first-class Brahmanas by offering the food to Haridas Thakur. He was prepared to talk with any learned Brahmana on this point and prove definitely that by offering food to a pure devotee like Haridas Thakur, he was equally as blessed as he would have been offering food to thousands of learned Brahmanas. When performing sacrifices, one offers oblations to the sacrificial fire. But when such oblations are not offered to the Vaishnavas, But when such oblations are offered to Vaishnavas, they are certainly more effective. Prabhupada says, again, he emphasizes this point. So if one wants to do sacrifice, one has to have some qualification, isn't it? One has to have the learnings, one has to have the qualification, one has to have the cleanliness, one has to have the ability to do mantra ucharanam. But if someone wants to feed brahmanas, it's possible for everyone. There's no qualification. Maybe you say that, Prabhu, thoda paisa chahiye, thoda lakshmi chahiye, thoda dhan chahiye. But still, one can even feed poha, one can even feed fruits to brahmanas, one can even feed dry fruits, whatever it is. Anyone in any capacity can offer something to devotees. So in that sense, second reason why it is more greater. So Chaitanya Charitamrita comes this pastime Srila Prabhupada mentions in Antya Leela, where Advaita Acharya is speaking to Haridas Thakur. He says, Acharya kohe na tumi na kareha bhai. So Advaita Acharya is saying, tumi na kareha bhai. Don't become afraid. Why are you afraid, Haridas Thakur? Sei acharibe jhei shastra matta hai. This acharana, this act which I am doing, is shastra matta. This is actually the conclusion or the opinion of shastras. Tumi kaila hoya koti brahmana bhojan. Eta boli shraddha patra korila bhojan. Even once, if you're taking the Shraddha Patra, it is equal, if your eating is equal to Koti Brahmana Bhojan, it is equal to feeding 1,000 Brahmanas. So this is very revolutionary of the Gaudiya Vaishnavism, where they challenge social norms. Okay? For Advaita Acharya being such a pure and powerful Brahmana at the time, and being such in a powerful Brahmana society, now today's day and age, no one cares for all these things, you know, isn't it? But Advaita Acharya at that time, he was outcast by the Brahmin community. So the Vaishnava understanding in general is beyond birth designations. A Vaishnava understands that if a person has taken up to Hari Bhakti, then he is not to be considered by his own birth. A few days ago, Tarun Nithayapur was giving this class, quoting from Ramanuja Acharya, different types of aparads. He was saying that one aparad is to consider a Vaishnava's varna, one aparad is to consider a person's ashrama, one aparad is to consider a person's body. Oh, you're born in so and so jati. So it's an aparad to consider like that if a person has become a Vaishnav. But the Gaudiya Vaishnava understanding or emphasis of this is even more, even compared to other Vaishnava sampradayas. So sometimes we see that other Vaishnava sampradayas, the birth as a Brahmana is more emphasized. Okay, it is considered topmost, even in Vaishnava sampradayas of other sampradayas. Okay, sometimes the rites of giving diksha, the rites of taking diksha, the rites of becoming an acharya, the rites of becoming a sannyasi is only for those born in Brahmana Vaishnava families. So even the other Vaishnava panta, the other Vaishnava paths, they have a little of this consideration. Okay, sometimes they say that, oh, this person can do Hari Bhakti, but for him to get mukti, right, he has to take birth again. They are Vaishnavas. They said because of his prarabdha karmas, that in this life he is not qualified. Okay, we have given the seed of Hari Bhakti, but the field is not proper. The field is not proper. So what to do? Change the field. Change the field means what? Take new birth. Take a different birth. So therefore in other some Vaishnava sampradayas, sometimes preaching in a mass scale is not so much focus. Because their understanding is that their prarabdha karmas are there. If they want to achieve mukti, they have to change the field. What can we do? At best, we can just give them the seed of Hari Bhakti. And in this life, they can do something. Next life, they can achieve perfection. So, chod do na. Don't take too much anxiety. Whereas the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, especially in our sampradaya parampara, we take so much anxiety in preaching. Isn't it? Running after people, so much anxiety sometimes. Big meetings we have, finance meetings we have, how to fund the budget for preaching, how to do preaching activities, how to do this program, that program, this festival. So in other sampradayas, they don't emphasize on this. But actually, the core principle of Vaishnavism is that if one has real faith in the holy name, this can eradicate all prarabdha karmas also. Vishnu Chakra Thakur in one his purport, in this episode where Narada Muni, as a boy, gives up his body. So he gives a nice lengthy purport. He explains about this point of prarabdha karma. He says that prarabdha karmas does not remain with the devotees who have developed prema bhakti. for those practicing Shuddha Bhakti, pure Bhakti, for those practicing Shuddha Bhakti, destruction of Prarabdha Karmas has taken place during Sadhana Bhakti itself. He says like that. So then he quotes the story of Priyavat Maharaj in the Priyavat Maharaj, 5th canto, 1st chapter. He says, he gives an example that how but just by chanting the Yannama Deyam Aduna Sajahati Tanvam, okay, that all the, you know, birth defects can actually immediately jahati, be destroyed, just by chanting the holy name once. So this is Shastra Praman, this is the truth that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas especially hold on very strongly to. And therefore in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, anyone can become a sannyasi, anyone can become a guru, anyone can give mantra diksha, anyone can accept diksha if he follows the Vaishnava principles. Whereas this is not so much of a prerogative in other sampradayas. So we see nowadays that people are so, you know, headstrong with this being born Brahmana. Recently we visited the Brahminical capital of Maharashtra, Pune, okay, where all Brahmanas are there. So I mean, for me, at least being 10 years in India now, I felt what we practice in my home, being third generation outside of India, was more pious or more ritualistic. You know, we had astrology, we had this, we had that, Yamakandam and all we used to see every day, compared to some Brahmanas here. So I was so shocked. We went to one home and elderly people, the lady must be herself 40 plus, her father must be around 70. And they were saying that they're Brahmins. And they were saying that we have never worshipped the deity in our life. We do not know how to worship. So my general thing is that when I go to somebody's house, I look for where is the Devgar, where is the altar. Oto, it's ingrained. You know, I'll always go to the altar first. So when I enter the house, I'm looking where the altar is. Couldn't find it. So I asked her, you don't have an altar? I said, oh, we have never worshipped. Itna kushi se, we are forward people. So then I went to some other house. Same thing was there also. There's no altar only. So when you wake up in the morning and there's no altar to go to, you feel a little awkward, no? And these people are very happy with it. So shocking, you know, that that such culture is there, but the practice of cleanliness, the practice of pride, the practice of analytical thinking, that is all there. But the main purpose, or even qualities, many of them are very kind, humble, tolerant, and very, you know, like as if they're devoid of any false ego. They speak so much social service. Somehow with the current department, we are interacting with so much social service people. And most of the people who run NGOs in India are all Brahmanas. But they're either atheistic, agnostic, or totally indifferent to all this. So it's very such a big irony, actually. So in this, one thing we can learn that, you know, sometimes the Vaishnava may seem to be very dirty. The Vaishnava can be seem to marry very lacking some qualities. The Vaishnava can seem to be very, you know, not very humble. Whereas a Brahmana or an outsider may seem to be very humble. But we should understand actually whose qualities are born from where. We can quote n number of people who can show more compassion or more humility than even our Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes Prabhupada is very hard. Prabhupada is very in your face. And there are many people in the outside world who are so humble. Right? But Srila Prabhupada has all qualities, but a Vaishnava's prerogative day is they know when to use the qualities, when and how to use the qualities. Whereas outside, people who may be born in Brahminical families or may be born having good qualities, their good qualities are born because of their own karmas. So they are naturally throughout their whole life humble in all situations. But these qualities are born out of their own karmas. You cannot consider it a very divine quality. It's a good quality, but one has to see the Shraddha. So we know many people who are atheists, but they are so humble. They speak very softly. They say, no, you know, I do not. They share everything they have. They sit on the floor. They are very kind. But such people actually, you cannot become carried away by who they are, because the Shraddha deep down, the core within their hearts is not pure. Whereas a devotee, he may have somewhat lackings, but his faith is very pure. So generally, I was sharing with one friend that how there's always a tension between Brahmanas and Vaishnavas, especially Smartha Brahmanas. Smartha Brahmanas feel, you know, that Vaishnavas, you know, sometimes because Vaishnavas, anyone from any sector of society can become a Vaishnava. And sometimes they don't have cleanliness. They don't have behavior, good behavior. So the Brahmanas feel that, hey, Vaishnavas are, you know, like Nicha Jati. Because anyone can become a Vaishnav. They don't have good qualities. Whatever it may be, they may not have externally good qualities, but their Shraddha is Pakka. Their faith in the Supreme Lord is pure. And that is what is most important. The Lord here in this verse also is saying, Shraddha Hutam. With faith, one should do an activity. So shocking, you know, that in our recent visit. So, these people who are Brahmanas, born Brahmanas, they were doing activities, helping in social service. So, they started, you know, in the morning prayer, they introduced a lot of mantras, right? Vishnu Sahasranam, this, that, everything. And very wonderful, there's one beautiful prayer by Ramdas Swami on Narishima Arti. Beautiful prayer in Marathi. Glorifying Narishima Dev and all. At the end of the purpose, you say, Hari Bhajane, you're doing Hari Bhajan so that I can calm myself down. I can reach Shanta. So you're praying to Narishima Dev, worshipping him, glorifying him, that you yourself can become, he'll come, calm down, you can calm down. Okay? So, but unfortunately, this interpretation, because I don't know the words, but there's a lot of like that in the Arti. So, this personality, after presenting this prayer, said that why we're reciting this prayer? This prayer is to help us with our pronunciation. This prayer is a tongue twister. We want to exercise our mouth, therefore we are doing this prayer. I said, my God, what beautiful prayers. If Ramdas Swami had heard, to sharpen the mind, we are doing this tongue-twisting Sanskrit prayer to Narasimha Dev. So, you know, this is like totally, right. So, this is the kind of interpretations. So then, another person asked me that, they are Brahmanas also. They asked me that, tell me what is the importance of this Janu? Why do you wear this Brahmana Pavitra? So now, I'm not going to give a Gaudiya Vaishnava understanding. So I gave a Smartha Brahmin understanding, what I had heard during our Upanayanam and all. So I spoke to that, because there's no point in actually speaking these higher philosophies. So they are very ingrained with having good character, becoming good people, but not having faith in the Supreme Lord. Okay? So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very heavy on this point, as we know. He debated about Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. Was saying how that no matter in whatever society, if a person takes up to Vaishnavism, he to be considered better than a Brahmana. So he quotes various verses from Garuda Puran to say this. Very beautiful verses, important verses. We'll just recite this, discuss this, and we'll end. He says, Bhakti rasta vidahi esha yasmin mleche pi vartate sa viprendriyo munishreshta sagyani sacha pandita bhaktir ashta vidahi esha. Okay, there are many kinds of devotees, but even if he has all the eight types of eight qualities, yasmin mleche api vartate, if he is born in a mlecha family, although such a person, vipra indro, even he is better than the best of the Brahmanas, Muni Shreshta, he is even more Shreshta than Munis. Sa Gyani, such a Pandita, he is to be considered the best of all Pandits. Tasme Deyam Tatograyam, such a Pujo Yata Harihi. And therefore, such a person should be considered worshipable. Okay? So, of all kinds of devotees, the Vaishnava, even though he is born of a Mlecha of a Yavana family, he is to be considered worshipable, having taken to the Vaishnava Marga. So like we discussed earlier, person having taken up to Vaishnavism, all the Prarabdha karmas are removed. Then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says another principle. Name bhaktascha durvedi, name abhaktascha durvedi, mad bhakta swapacha priya. Tasme deyam tato grayam sacha pujo yata hyam. So even if a non-devotee becomes a Brahmana, even if a non-devotee comes from a Brahmana family, expert in studying the Vedas, he's not very dear to me. But if a sincere devotee, even if he comes from a low-class family of meat-eaters, he is very dear to me. Such a devotee should be given charity. He is as worshipable as I. Srila Prabhupada emphasized this, and Srila Prabhupada showed this, when he went to the West and he preached, and in the words of Gurudas Prabhu, he says he made barbarians into Brahmanas. Okay, where people from whatever n varieties of types of society, but just by following this sadhana bhakti, just by following this raga marga given by Lord Chaitanya, one can actually purify oneself. Now, if one is thinking that, why am I not yet purified? So the only question is of faith. Do we actually have tremendous faith in the holy name? Do we actually have tremendous faith in the process of chanting the holy name? That chanting of the holy name can purify everything. So I'll end in this last verse where Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati likes to quote this. He says, Brahmanam sahasrebhya kshatrayaji vishishyate. Among thousands of Brahmanam sahasrebhya kshatrayaji vishishyate. Of all Brahmanas, a Brahmana who knows how to do yaji, who knows how to do sacrificial offering, he is to consider vishishyate. He is considered a little special. Satrayaji sahasrebhya sarva vedanta paraga. So of all the Brahmanas who know how to do yajna, one who is sarva vedanta para, who actually knows the purpose or understanding shastra, he is to consider greater. Sarva vedanta vitkotya vishnu bhakto vishishyate. Of all the people, of all the Brahmanas who actually are very expert in shastras, sarva vedanta vit kotya vishnu bhakto vishishyate. Of all the Brahmanas, if one becomes a vishnu bhakta, if one actually becomes a devotee of the Lord, he is actually more rare, more greater. Vaishnavanam sahasrebhya, and of all the Vaishnavas, ekanti eko vishishyate. And among many such Vaishnavas, one who fully engages ekantya with determination, with full-fledged focus in the service of the Lord, he is the best. So even Vaishnavas are so great, but to the degree that Vaishnavas cultivate their own faith and practice and focus in what am I doing, why am I doing, they are considered to be the best. So in this, today in this purport, we saw the purport into two parts. One, what is the significance of Brahmanas? Why Brahmanas are to be considered the mouth of the Lord? Because they accept on behalf of the Lord, mainly because they speak Shastric knowledge. So if one cannot able to enlighten others, who cannot able to share this Krishna conscious philosophy or Bhagavat Tattva to others, then one should not take the advantage of accepting others. So many verses we saw Acharya's claim that with the same mantras you offer Ahuti, that same mantras you can offer, that same mantras, you know, Indraya Swaha, and feed a Brahmana also, feed a devotee also, you'll get the same benefit. Prabhupada emphasized how this world can be better if two things are maintained, Brahmanical culture and go rakshak, and actually cow protection. But unfortunately, no one is prepared to become a Brahmana, and no one is willing to take care of cows. The second part of the purport, we saw how Gaudiya Vaishnavism has revolutionized Brahmanism, whereas other sampradayas, other Vaishnav sampradayas also may still put an emphasis on being born as a Brahmana, to become an Acharya, to become a Sannyasi, to give Diksha, to accept Diksha. But Gaudiya Vaishnavism whole revolutionized society, that anyone from any aspect of society, if he has real practice, qualification and faith, they can become gurus. They can become actually topmost Vaishnavas. There's not nothing against that. So with this, we'd like to end. And tomorrow's speaker will further enumerate why Brahmanas are greater than even the Brahmahutam offering sacrifice because of their various qualities. Jai Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Shla Prabhupada ki. So if anyone has any comments, maybe Adhikesha Prabhu would like to share something. If Prabhupada's comments. Rasi Gaurai Prabhu, last time Prabhuji had very nice comments to share. I did not allow him to speak. Last class mein aapne kuch bola tha. So ye class mein. Yes.
Oi. One of Prabhupada's disciple, very sincere, and he was so impressed by the worship going on in Radha Raman temple. So he was very eagerly watching the way they are worshipping. So the pujari said, the pujari saw him, he's a Western disciple, so eagerly watching. So he said, okay, I bless you that you continue doing what you are doing. In next life you will take birth in a Brahmin family. So he was so jubilant, you know, the Western disciple. He was so happy. He came running to Prabhupada and he said, Prabhupada, I was blessed by the Pujari in Radharaman temple that the next life I will take birth in a Brahmin family. So Prabhupada was not happy with that. Prabhupada said, now you go back and you tell him, you continue doing this arati in this life. Next life you will take birth in the Western world. And you will take part in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement.
Yeah, actually recently also, just when we traveled last 2 days, so we met with one very wonderful devotee. He comes from Madhva Sampradaya. So if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes to South India, and he basically in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the pure Shuddha Bhakti which the Gaudiya Vaishnavism presents is shown. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even when he meets the Madhvas, he speaks with them, he discusses with them, and he put forth some seeming faults that they may have with their philosophy. So we had first-hand experience when we met a very powerful, wonderful devotee who is from Madhva Sampradaya, and we were discussing with him. And we were discussing, because he's Kannad, and we were discussing many things, you know, shlokas, and half the class was like Bhagavatam class only. We went there for some education activity, but he's working also in tribal area, and he's glorifying. We had just wonderful discussions. We spoke from Purandar and different things. And then finally he came to the conclusion that, you know, what all we are doing is fine, but if their prarabdha karmas are not allowing, then they have to take birth again. So that part didn't sit with us. Of course, we are not there to debate. We are there just to learn. But personally, we reflected how in our movement, now we are so much desperate going out and preaching, and we don't see, you know, that the person cannot become a devotee. We don't have that vision that someone cannot become a devotee. That's like a cataract to our eyes, isn't it? We don't see like that. We see that everyone can become a devotee and everyone should become a devotee. So I think this is the grace and glory of Srila Prabhupada, actually, that he has given us this vision that we don't go out and think that, you know, there's some hindrance to anyone becoming a devotee. Everyone can chant Hare Krishna. Everyone can practice Shuddha Bhakti. Everyone can take the association of devotees. And everyone can achieve Prema Bhakti and go back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna.